Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today we're going to be learning Chulin Daf Samech Tes. We are holding on Daf Samech Ches Amud Beis. I think we're all the way back like 14 lines from the end of the page. At the last run line is Omar at Omar Mar. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Ali Lishmas, his mother, Goldaba Simcha La Shalom, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. Someone texted me this morning that I forgot to announce the Dr. David Lander sponsorship yesterday. I would imagine that it just rolls off my tongue at this point and that I on autopilot it should have come. I guess I was a little frazzled yesterday. I was running a little bit late, so my apologies to Dr. Landerer. So yesterday's shiur was also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer and honor his wife and children, and Lee Lishmas, his mother, called the Basimcha Aleha Hashalom. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir. So we're going to talk about today is the following. We're going to have a machlokas whether an individual limb is said to have been born. Is there Yesh Leidole Evarim? Meaning it's an alternate version of the machlokas that we had yesterday between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So now we're going to have this version of the machlokas. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the mechitza of the Azara or the mechitzas Yerushalayim works for an ubar whose hand had emerged, meaning if the yad sticks out of the rechem of the mother. So we said it went chutz mechitza. So yeah, but what if the animal was in the Azara? What if it was in Yerushalayim? Do we say, well, since it's still within the mechitza of the Azara or the mechitza of Yerushalayim, it's not considered to have gone chutz mechitza? So then the Gemara is going to discuss if an animal sticks out a yad in between the shechita of one simin and the other, the kona and the veshet, is that aver considered to be tameh as a nevela? Then the Gemara is going to talk about if a ben pakua that had an aver hayotze, meaning so the aver hayotze was not included in the heter of ben pakua, was not included in the heter shechita of the mother, and then that ben pakua grew up and had its own offspring, what's the status of the offspring? Do we say, well, if daddy's yad was not kosher, then the baby's yad is not going to be kosher either? Or do we say, no, if daddy was kosher for the most part, then the baby's going to be kosher? Or do we say, if any part of daddy was not kosher, then the baby's not going to be kosher either? So we're going to discuss that. Then the Gemara is going to go through the Mar Makamos. How do I know what is and isn't counted, covered by the Shechita Sa'im, when the mother is shechted? Then on Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss why is an Uber considered a behema with regard to Shechita, but not with regard to Temura? That the drashas of the Psukim are behema bibehema is an Uber, but yet when it comes to Temura, to affecting Temura, all of a sudden an Uber does not count when it comes to affecting Temura. Then the Mishnah on Beis is going to discuss when during the birthing process does Kedushas Bechor take effect? Is the Kedushas Bechor only at birth? Is it at conception? Is it at somewhere in between? The Gemara is going to talk about whether Kedushas Bechor goes back l'mafreya to the beginning of the Leida, and that sugi will take us into tomorrow's daf. So let us begin again at Omar Mar, I think is where we left off yesterday. So Omar Mar, l'fisha m'tzinu ma'aseh sheni bikurim. So we had said yesterday that ma'aseh sheni and bikurim, even though if they're brought outside of the mechitza, outside of Yerushalayim, that you're not allowed to eat them there, if you bring them back inside of Yerushalayim, they become mutter again. Well, heichon matzinu, what do you mean matzinu? Where do we find that that's the case, that if you bring them outside of the mechitza, then you bring them back in, that you're allowed to eat them there? D'chziv, because the pasuk says, lo suchal lechol b'sharecha, meiser d'gancha. So meiser d'gancha is meiser sheni. Trumas yancha, which it says weiter in the pasuk, is bikurim. So it says b'sharecha d'lo techol, that you're not allowed to eat it in your sha'arim outside of Yerushalayim. Aval, yatzu chutz mechisatzon v'chazru mutarim. But if they went out to Bisha'arecha, and then you brought them back in to Yerushalayim, then they're mutter, then you are allowed to eat them. Okay, so up until now, we've been understanding the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan about the Uber sticking one Eiver out and then bringing it back in prior to Shechita, where Rav says that Eiver is Aser, and Rabbi Yochanan says that Eiver is mutter. So the Gemara now has a different lashon of that machlokas, which is going to yield, it seems like a nuance of difference, but it's going to yield the nafkamina. So b'marava masnu hachi in Eretz Yisrael, when they taught the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, it went like this, that Rav amar yesh leida le'evarim, that Rav holds that when an Eiver emerges from the womb, that Eiver is said to have been born. Rabbi Yochanan amar ein leida le'evarim, meaning according to Rav, since that Eiver has been born, it is no longer covered by the shechita of the mother. That that Aver is therefore going to be Aser. So it seems like it's just another way of saying what Rav said yesterday, that the Aver that was stuck out and brought back in is Aser. It's just a different formulation. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein Leida Le'Evarim. That's not considered a Leida, and therefore, if the animal brings back its limb inside the mother, it can still be covered by the Shechita, the mother. So says Gemara, Mai Benayu. Then what's the difference between the way we formulated the Machlokas yesterday and the way that we are formulating the Machlokas today? So Ikabinayu Le'Meser Miyot Ever Shebifnim. Ah, the Nafkamina is going to be, let's say it stuck out 70% of one of its Evarim. If you hold that Yesh Leida Le'Evarim, then that entire Ever, even the 30% that never emerged from the mother, is going to be treif. Whereas in yesterday's formulation, it wasn't about an Aver having a Leida, it's about that which emerged from the mother. So only the 70% that emerged is going to be not kosher. The 30% that stayed inside of the mother will still be kosher, b'shchitas ha'eim. So that's the difference between today's formulation and yesterday's formulation. So yibayilu, l'divrei omer ein Leida le'evarim. If you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that there's no such thing as a limb being born, hotzi ubers yadav echzira, v'chazer hotzi es yadav echzira, ad sheshlima l'rubo, mahu. What if it keeps sticking other limbs out? So it sticks out the right hand and then pulls it back in, then the left hand pulls it back in, then the right leg and pulls it back in, then the left leg and pulls it back in, and until you get to the rove of the animal. Mi amrina nafak l'rubo, do we say, well, in the end of the day, most of this ubar at one point or another has been outside of the mother, and Rabbi Yochanan is moda that that's got to be considered to be a birth, and therefore the animal is not going to be kosher with the shechita of the mother. It's going to need its own shechita. Or do we say no? Each time it brought the aver back in, so that it undoes what it had done by sticking the aver out. So by the time the second aver was protruded outside of the mother, the first one is already back inside the rechem. So there was not yitzia of rov ha'aver, and therefore it's not considered to be an animal that is a baby that has been born, and therefore it's still considered to be covered in the shechita of the mother. This whole suffix is only l'divrei omer ein leida le'evarim. It's only according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rav, that yesh leida le'evarim, of course the fetus is considered to have been born, because every aver that emerged, is considered to have been born. And it's as if it never brought it back in. And when rov of the evarim emerged, so then rov of the baby has been born. And then obviously, when rubo comes out, that's considered to be a birth. So that is the shaila only within the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, and if you're going to say, well, once it brings it back in, it's considered as if it never emerged, and therefore we do not add up till you get to the rove. What if it didn't bring it back in? It stuck out the right foreleg, and you cut it off as it emerged. And then it stuck out the left foreleg, and you cut that off. Kept on doing that until most of the uber had emerged. Mahu. Do we say, okay, now most of the animal had emerged in total, and therefore it's a real birth? Or maybe no, you need rove of it to emerge, but basachas all at the same time in order to be mitstarif. So and this is even according to the shita of yesh leida le'evarim, that if you need rove of basachas, putting out one aver at a time is not considered a leida legabi the ubar, and therefore only the avarim that were actually yotze are aser, but the avarim that were not yotze at all are mutter. And if you don't need rov basachas, then the avarim are mitzaref, so it's a leida for the ubar as well. So even the avarim that did not come out are going to be aser. So says Gemara Tashma, let's try to be poshet this suffix based on what it said in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said zehaklal dover shemigufa aser v'sheini migufa mutter, that anything that's part of the animal's body that gets cut inside the mother is going to be us. It's not going to be covered by the shechita, which we said, like if you stick your hand inside the mother and you cut her spleen or you cut her kidney and detach it, you sever it from the body, that's not covered by the shechita. It will be a non-kosher spleen, a non-kosher kidney. But she'enu gufa, but if it's not part of the mother's body, it's part of the ubar, so then it's going to be mutter. Then it will be covered by the shechita. shita of the Gemara. So she'en gufa lasuya mai. What do we mean she'en gufa? What is the Mishnah coming to teach me? If it's just coming to tell me about the aver of an ubar that was cut off and remained inside the mother, that we already know. The Mishnah had already said that chotich miubar shemeya mutabar chila. The Mishnah had already said that if you cut off one of the avarim of the ubar inside the womb, that it's mutabar chila. So lav lasuya ki agavna, isn't it coming to tell me that if rove of the ubar had emerged one limb at a time, and you kept cutting off one limb at a time until you got to rove, that the miut that remains inside of the mother's womb is going to be mutar b'shchita se'em, because in order for it to be considered a real leida, you need rove of the uber to emerge all at the same time, and since that did not happen, it's not mitzaref to be considered a leida. So therefore, that resolves our second suffix when you cut the avarim that had emerged. And certainly, if you didn't cut the avarim that had emerged and they just went right back in, that the uber is going to be mutter. So that is how Rashi learns our Gemara. Rabbi Kiveger just asked the question, how do I know that? What do you mean that's the pashtus, that's what the case of our Mishnah, that when the Mishnah says this klal, must be talking about where one limb emerges at a time and you cut it off, meaning maybe the Mishnah is coming to tell me about the first suffix that we had, that if it sticks one limb out at a time and pulls it back, that which is inside is mutter. How do you know that it's coming to talk about a case where it sticks one limb out at a time and you cut it off? Meaning, wouldn't it be more logical that it's talking about the lesser chiddush of one limb at a time and it pulls it back? So the Rebbe Kiveger answers that since the second suffix goes even according to Rav, the way we learned it, but the first suffix is only according to Rav Yochanan, so and according to Rav, it would be pashut that it's aser, because Rav holds yesh le'evarim, so it makes sense that the Mishnah is going to shed light on the way Rav learns as well. So that's why we're assuming that that's what it's talking about. So it says Gemara, lo, that is not what the Mishnah means. La suye kolut b'mei para. No, you don't want the Mishnah's coming to be mechadesh, that if you have a camel that emerges from a cow, b'mei para, that's inside of the cow. So alibud Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, da'afagav dam Rabbi Shimon kolut b'mei para aser, even though Rabbi Shimon holds that if a cow birthed a camel, it birthed something that does not have split hooves, that it's going to be aser, hani mili. That's only if it emerged from the womb. Aval b'meimo shari. But if the camel remains in the womb, then it's going to be mutter. It's going to be covered by the shechita of the mother. So therefore, we have not been poshet either one of these sveikos. They remain a suffix. So the Rashba and the Rosh say on the first suffix, when it sticks out one limb at a time and brings it back in, that it's not considered yalud. It's not considered to have been born. And whatever remains inside is mutter b'shchita se'em, because we always paskin like an imtim tzolomar, meaning when you say, is it A or is it B? And if it's B, is it C or is it D? That's an indication that we paskin like B. We always paskin like an imtim tzolomar. And as far as the second suffix, well, it's a suffix d'araisa. So suffix d'araisa l'churma, and therefore we have to be choshish that maybe it's considered to have been born, and the avarim that remain inside are not mutter b'shchita se'em, but so that's the way that the Rashba and the Rosh learn. However, according to Rashi, that the halacha is like Rav, that yesh le'evarim, because Rabbi Yochanan has been rejected, so the first suffix is einu kalacha anyway. So it's, so that which remains befinim is for sure going to be aser, because the first suffix is not even a suffix, according to the way we paskin, the way Rashi learns our Gemara. So now the Gemara poses a new shayla. By Rav Chananya, hotzi uber es yado. Let's say the uber sticks out one of its yadayim, be'azara, but the entire animal is in the azara of the Beis HaMikdash. Mahu. So what do we say about that? Do we say that since the walls of the azara are considered a mechitza when it comes to kachim, that they have to be shechted in the azara, the walls of the azara is the mechitza that's matir them? So the mechitza of the azara is going to work for this aver that emerged from its mother as well, and therefore even though it left the mechitza of the mother's rechem, the aver is still going to be covered by the mother's shechita, because it remained inside of the mechitza of the azara. Or maybe no, the mechitza of the azara is for the dinim of kachim. But as far as what's considered a leida, what's not considered, what's considered a nolad, what's a ben pakua, when does the mother's shechita cover? That's not the, this mechitza is not relevant to that. Mechitza is ubar imahui. The mechitza of an ubar is its mother. That's the only mechitza that's relevant when it comes to when it comes to an Ubar. So Amalei Abaye says, you know, it happens to be the Pnei Aryeh raises the question, how's it even a tzad that the mechitza of the Azara is going to work to be matir, the Eivar of the Ubar that stuck its hand out of the mother's rechem? L'chora, it could only help L'gabe Hotzah Seyad, it's in order to be matir, you need it to be inside the goof of the behema, right? It's kolba behema. So how does that help that it's still inside the azara? Meaning, we said before that even that which is at the edge of the rechem, even though it's not outside of the rechem, since it's not bifnim, it's not included in kolba behema. A difficult havamina. There's a difficult havamina. But anyway, so that's what the Gemara asks. Does the mechitz of the azara help? So if for legabe the yad that emerged from the womb. So Amalei Abaye says, instead of being unsure about a behemoth's kachim that stuck its yad outside in the azara, whether the chomas hazara works for that aver, v'tibayilach kachim kalim b'Yerushalayim. Why don't you raise the same question about kachim kalim, let's say a carbon shlamim, where the uber stuck its yad out, but it was still inside the walls of Yerushalayim, and then it brought its yad back in. Then you brought the carbon shlamim back into the azara, and you shechted it there. According to Rav, who holds that yesh leidele evarim, then bringing it back in does not help. So maybe the chomas Yerushalayim will work for the eating of this kachim kalim, because it should serve as a mechitza for this aver that emerged as well. Or maybe not. Meaning, why didn't we ask that question about kachim kalim? Why are we only asking about the mechitza sazara and not about the mechitza Yerushalayim? So it says, kachim kalim Yerushalayim, my time will come by lech. I'll tell you why you didn't ask the question about the mechitza Yerushalayim. The mechitza ubar imahu. Because it's obvious that the mechitza of an ubar is its mother and not the Yerushalayim. So achnami mechitzas ubar imahu. So over here as well, when it comes to kachikachim, the mechitza of the ubar is its mother. It is not Yerushalayim. Good. So now we move on to another shaila. Boy Ilfa, the colleague of Rabbi Yochanan, famous from Maseches Tainis, raises the following shaila. We know that in order to do a proper shechita on a behemah, you need to shecht shnei simanim, a kana and a veshet, or rov kana and rov veshet. So even if we're going to see later in the Mishnah that according to the Chavim, even if the aver that emerged is aser ba'achila, but even though an aver that emerged from the mother prior to the shechita is aser ba'achila, but the shechita will be metahirit from tumas aver menachai, that the tuma is of aver menachai will not apply, which has the status of tumas nevela. So says Gemara Bayi Ilfa. Here's Ilfa's shaila. Hotzi ubar asyato. The ubar stuck out one yad, bein simin l'simin, in between shechting one simin and the other. So mahu, meaning the aver that's yotzei is obviously going to be asur b'achila because it was not inside the mother's body for the duration of the shechita. So obviously it's not going to become mutar b'achila. However, the first simin worked to be matir the aver b'achila and to be metahirit from nevela, and the second simin only worked to be metahirit from nevela, not to be matirit. So can that be metstarif with one another? Do we say that since the simon, when the simon rishon was cut, it was on a trajectory to be totally matir, not just from the tumatara perspective, but from the achila perspective? And by the time the second simon was cut, all it was meant to accomplish was a tumatara, that maybe those two are not mitzdarif with each other, and it doesn't even, ironically, doesn't even achieve the tara. So amarava kalvach. So then, lo yoelo letari miden nevela. That if the simon rishon works for the simon sheni to be metayer, to be matir the behema for achila, meaning the difference between the simanim doesn't cause that they're not going to be mitzdarif with each other, and say that the shechita of each simon is a separate shechita. They certainly are both considered one shechita. So therefore, when it comes to tari miden nevela, they're considered to be one big shechita, and itake is metayer liden nevela. By Rabbi Yirmiyah asks another shayla. Ma'u lachosh lezaro. Okay, so you have a fetus, right? A perfectly viable fetus that sticks out one yad when the mother was shechted. So now what's the halacha? This fetus does not require a shechita. It was covered by the shechita of the mother, but that yad is always going to be Usher. So now that fetus survived, right, and it grows up and it has its own babies, what are the status of those babies? So Hechidami says, well, what exactly are you asking? If you're going to say that this little Ben Pakua went and had a baby with a regular female animal that required shechita, and the shaila is about the aver of the vlad, ma'ir yahai, then what's the shaila? Meaning, why would you even ask about a Ben Pakua that has one yad that's not kosher? This be yisur yotze. Ben Pakua de Alma Nami, even if it was a full Ben Pakua, it would still be usher to eat the offspring without doing a shechita first. According to the opinion that we're choshish for the Zera Av, the essence of the Vlad is not nikva purely by the mother, by the father as well. So Ben Pakua, Haba al Behema Ma'al Yisa, Havlad in Lo Takana. The halach would be that a Ben Pakua that mates with a regular animal, the Vlad is not going to be kosher no matter what. Because on its mother's side, it requires shechita. On its father's side, it does not require shechita. So it says, we view it as if half of its own simanim are already shechted. And there's nothing you could do about that. So that's going to be usher no matter what, regardless of whether the father had a yad that was problematic or did not have a yad that was problematic. It's going to be usher anyway. It's going to be usher anyway. So what kind of shaila are you asking? So it says, well, tzricha ozla ben pakua de kavsei. Now, the case is that the father was a ben pakua with a yad that was usher, because the yad had emerged. And then it mated with another full-fledged female ben pakua. My aver molded aver v'chatech le'vishari odilum val balzare. Do we say that okay, the father's yad translates over to the baby, and therefore when this baby is born, we say this baby is a child of both a father and a mother who are a ben pakua, except for its yad. The yad of the father is not a ben pakua, so the yad of the baby is not going to be kosher. So cut off the yad of the baby, or maybe no. Maybe we say the father is the father, the father largely is a ben pakua. We don't look at the baby's yad as coming from the father's yad. The baby's yad is from the genetic material of everything that makes up the entire father. So Hadar Amar, the Gemara then goes and says that Pshita de Meval Belzare, obviously, the baby comes from the entirety of the father, and not yad to yad, and heart to heart, and head to head, and obviously it's meval belzare. De'im kein, suma yolid suma, v'kiteya yolid kiteya. Because otherwise, whenever you have a blind animal, then the offspring should be blind. And whenever you have an animal missing a leg, then its offspring should be missing a leg. If you really thought that that's the way biology worked, that that each element of the parent was translated down to the child. El pshita meval belzare. It must be that it does not work like that. And the shaila was as follows: that since we know that it's all the genetic material of the father that contributes to making the offspring, and part of the genetic material of a father is that it has dam, it has chelev, it has parts of its body that will always be usser, right? And nevertheless, the baby somehow you're allowed to eat the beef of the baby if you shecht it, so the vlad is still going to be mutter. So achanami, maybe over here as well, lo shna, when the father has one yad that's usser, we should say the baby is perfectly fine. Odilma trei suri aminan, thasal aminan. Or maybe when it comes to the father having two isurim, it has chelev, it has dam, that's where we're going to say, okay, so the Torah is mechadesh that the vlad is mutter, even though there were two isurim in the father. But when there's a third isur in the father, in addition to the chelev and the dam, it has this yad that is not a ben pakua, then we're not going to say that it's mutter, because where do we find that the Torah is mechadesh such a heter? Tosas raises the fundamental question. There's a gorim of heter, which is the rest of the behema, which is mutter. Why don't we say zevzeg gorim is mutter? Meaning, shouldn't that be, meaning if you hold zevzeg gorim is mutter, that when there's a double gorim, it's mutter, so this should be at least a zevzeg gorim. So the Torah's Chaim suggests that we could be mechalik between an av that's aser and an aim that's muteres, and the Tarovis is in the Vlad, that's where we see which is the Gorim, and we say Zevzeh Gorim is Mutter. Versus a case where in the father itself there's already a Tarovis of Isser Veheter, you know, in the father itself, then we don't say Zevzeh Gorim, because the Gorim HaIsser is Mamish in the same Guf as the Gorim HaHeter. We only say Zevzeh Gorim is Mutter when here's a Gorim of Heter, here's a Gorim of Isser, and they come together to create this Vlad. But in the same guf of Heter, you have the guf of Isser, then we're not going to apply such a principle of Zevzeh Gorim. The Ramban says that in Achanami, the Gemara's whole shayla is only Alib de Man Yamar, that Zevzeh Gorim is Aser in general. Okay, so says Gemara Ulaman. According to who are these, are we assuming these three Isurim coexist? In Rabbi Meir, if we're assuming like Rabbi Meir, Isser Chela V'dam Ika, Isser Yotze Leka. There is an Isser of Chela V'dam in a Ben Pakua, but there is no Isra of Yotze, because Rav Meir holds that a viable fetus that's inside the mother, that was shechted, does not become mutter with the shechita of the mother. It's going to need its own shechita anyway. So you don't have an Eiver HaYotze Chutz Mechitzaso, because the mother is not the Mechitza of the Vlad at all. It's not Matir the Vlad at all. It's like any other Behema. So according to Rav Meir of Ben Pakua, that was a viable fetus that can have its own offspring, is never going to have three Isurim joined together in the same body. And Ila Rabbi Yehuda, and if we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, Isur Yotze Ika, yes, you have an Isur Yotze, because he holds that a viable fetus does become mutter with the shechita of the mother, so the mother is the mechitza, but Isur Chelev Leka, but it doesn't have an Isur Chelev Ditnan, because the Mishnah says in, it's really a Braisa, that Gid Anosha Nohig B'Shlil V'Chelbo Asur Divrei Meir, that a Gid Anosha applies to a Shlil, meaning to a Ben Pakua, but its Chelev is going to be Asur, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Nohig B'Shlil V'Chelbo Mutter. Rabbi Yehuda have been told that the Chelev of the Ben Pakua is always going to be Mutter anyway, so you don't have three gormim of Isser, because unlike a regular animal where the chalev of an animal is Aser, a Ben Pakua's chalev is perfectly kosher. Meaning if you want to have kosher, what's the cut of meat that's not kosher, that's supposed to be a delicious cut of meat? Is it filet mignon or is that kosher? I don't know. There's some cut of meat that's like it's a very fancy cut of meat, but it's right around the gid or whatever. But Ben Pakua, it's all going to be kosher, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Isser Gid Anasha is not going to be noig by Yishlil, and the Isser of Chalev is not going to be noig by Yishlil. Meaning the way to, there was someone that came up with the Neinfeld, he wanted I think in Australia or something, that he was trying to raise Ben Pakuas. And if Ben Pakuas get together and they have Ben Pakua offspring, so you could start a whole farm of Ben Pakuas, where you're not going to require Shechita Midoraisa, only Midraban Kazamaris Ha'ayin, and every part of it is going to be kosher. Every part of the behema is going to be kosher. So says Gemara, the suffix of Rabbi Yirmiyah has to be understood differently. Hachi kami ba'ilei. His suffix was really as follows: that if you have a female bas pakua who had the Isser Yotze, who had one limb that emerged, mahu ligmoa es chalovo, are you allowed to have the milk of it? Is that asur or mutter? Chalov di alma lo kevim minachai dami vishari. After all, isn't regular milk similar to kevim minachai? It's something that emerges from a live animal, and nevertheless we say that it's kosher. So hainami lo shna. So maybe the bas pakua that has this Isser Yotze, so even though the chalav emerges from this mother that has part of its body, which is treif, the part that was Yotze, chutz l'mechitza, is treif, nevertheless, the chalav should still be kosher, because any chalav comes from an animal that's entirely treif. It's all Eivir Menachai. Odil mahasim isli takanti l'isuri b'shchita. Or do we say, no, the Eivir Menachai of a regular milking cow is a problem that's solvable when you shecht the cow. But hacha, let's say takante li suri b'shchita. But this limb that emerged from this cow, there's no way to fix that problem ever. And therefore, maybe the milk from such a mother is not going to be valid. It's not going to be kosher. Chotech me ubar. We then said that if you cut off pieces of the ubar inside the mother's womb and you leave him there, and then you shecht the mother, all of those evarim are mutter. So says Mar Minalan. How do I know that the cut pieces of an ubar inside the mother become kosher with the shechita of the mother. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, "V'kol behema mafreses parsa behema ba behema l'rab." So Savlad, that the phrase, the second word ba behema, goes back on the first behema, and that comes to tell me that a vlad that is a behema inside of another behema, you're allowed to eat. So says Gemara Elameata, if the uber has the status of a behema, you're dashing a pasuk that it's called a behema. So then yamirubo, shouldn't you be able to affect tamura on an uber if it's really a behema? Alamatanan, why then does the Mishnah tell us in Tamura Daf Yud that ein memirin lo evarin buubarin, that if you say the aver of this chulin animal should be a tamura for the uber of that kachim animal, it does not work. Or lo e buubarin be'evarin, if you say that the uber of this chulin animal be tamura for the aver of that kachim animal, it does not work. Velo evarin v'ubarin bishlamin, velo shlamin bahen, that not shlamin, shlamin, and neither evarim nor ubarim can be tamura for a regular behema that's shalim if it's kachim, velo shlamin bahen, and nor can a shalim chulin animal be tamura for evarim and ubarim. So bottom line is, you see that apparently an ubar is not considered a behema legabe the dinim of tamura. So you are considering it a behema as far as the dinim of shechita when it comes to ben pakua, but you're not considering it a behema when it comes to the dinim of tamura. So the Gemara says, you know what? The source for the idea that ben pakua is mutter must be from somewhere else. Ella Amar Kra. It's based on the pasuk v'kol behema l'rabos asavlad. It's the extra word kol, that it's not the word behema. You're right, ba behema doesn't work. It's the extra word kol, that it's to be marbe something that's not a behema, namely the vlad. So if that were the case, though, that we learn it from the word kol, so then why, when you cut the internal organs of the mother, are they not kosher? Why do those things remain asa b'achila? Because Amar Kra osa shlema v'lo chaseira, that it says osa tochelu, only a behema that is shlema, but not a behema that is that has organs that are cut off of it. That is considered chaser, that you're not allowed to eat those organs that you find inside of the mother when they are severed organs. But an ubar is mutter because that's included from the word kol. So we have one inclusionary term and one exclusionary term. So the kol comes to teach me that the uber inside is good, and the osa comes to teach me that the severed organs inside the mother are no good. So elameata, says the Gemara, if anything that's not considered part of the body of the animal is included from kol ba behema, even though it's not called the behema, hashochet is a behema, matzah b'demos yona, if you shech the behema and you find something that looks like a yona, that doesn't have split hooves, it looks like a bird, so tishtari, it should be mutter. Why then does Rabbi Yochanan say that in such a case it's going to be asur ba'achila, you're not going to be allowed to eat it? So it says more because be'inon prasos v'leka, the uber has to have two prasos in order to be matirit inside of the mother, because the pasuk says shtei prasos malzkeir ba'behema osa tochelu. Ademus Yonah doesn't have shtei prasos. Elamata, if that's the case, that the uber needs to have shtei prasos, kalut b'me paralitzar, then how come we say that if it's a close-hooved animal growing inside of a para, that it's mutter? It should be aser, because it only has parsa achas, it doesn't have split hooves. So it should be aser, even according to Rabbi Shimon. It should be mutter, rather. I'm sorry, it should be aser, since it has, and we learned that a kalut b'me para is mutter, even according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a kalut that comes out of the para is aser. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree that if it's still b'me para, that it's going to be mutter. So hatanu d'bi Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, parsa b'behema tochelu. We do find the Mishnah that was taught by Rabbi Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that the pasuk says parsa, and it says parsos, to tell me that anything that you find inside a behema you're allowed to eat, whether it has one parso, whether that's shtei parsos, and that's why if a non-split hooved animal is found inside of a para, that has a parsa, and that's good enough. It doesn't have parsos, but it has parsa. But a demosiona doesn't even have parsa, and therefore it's going to be aser. So the difference between finding a camel inside of a cow versus finding a yonah inside of a cow is that a yonah does not even have parsa, and therefore it's going to be aser. The camel at least has parsa. Now, the Gemara had mentioned that the pasuk from which we are matir ben pakua is that we darshan behema ba behema tochelu, that a behema that's found inside of another behema is mutter with the shechita of the mami behema. But the Gemara rejected that because then that would suggest that an uber is called a behema, and yet we find in the dinum of tamura that an uber is not called a behema. So the Gemara says, you know what? Maybe we can salvage that initial drug. Russia, that behema ba behema is in fact the source for a ben pakua, and the kasha from Tamura maybe could be resolved in some other way. Rav Shimi bar Ashi Amar li olam kedikamrit meikara. Maybe our original drasha was correct. Behema ba behema. That's how I know a ben pakua is kosher, because the uber is called the behema. You asked the kasha of the Mishnah Tamura Davio that ain't mamirin, that you can't make Tamura on an uber. Maybe there's a way to resolve that differently. That Haman, he used the Tana of the Mishnah and Tamura, says that it does not affect Tamura. Rabbi Shimon, he, demakish Tamura lemaiser. That Rabbi Shimon holds that there's a link between the dinam of Tamura and the dinam of Maiser Behema. That he learns that there's no Tamura on a carbon seabor, and there's no Tamura on Kache Bedekabayis, because there's no Maiser on those things. So over here also, Ma Maiser Eninoig Be'evarim V'ubarim, just like there's no Maiser behema on limbs or on fetuses. The reason Tamura doesn't work on an uber is not because an uber is not a behema. It's because an uber is not subject to the dinim of Meiser behema. So if it's not subject to the dinim of Meiser behema, maybe it's not subject to the dinim of Tamura. But it's still called the behema. So it says, how do we know that the Tanakama of the Mishnah in Tamura is Rabbi Shimon? Well, Ditran, because the Hemshech of the Mishnah goes on to say that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with whoever this anonymous Tanakama is, and holds that you are allowed to affect, you are able to affect Tamura on a varim of a behema. Because Amar Rabbi Yossi says to the Tanakama, Valo b'muktashim, when you're maktish, O behema schulin, ha'omer ragla shel ola, ragla shel zo ola, if you are maktish the behema by saying, let the regal of this animal be a carbon ola, kula ola, the whole thing becomes a carbon ola, not only the regal that you try to be maktish. So af, so too when it comes to tamura, kashiyomer regal shel zo, tacha zo, when you say, let this regal be tamura, and gain kedusha, so te kula tamura tachteo, all of it will become tamura. So lemanka mahadrele, who is Rabbi Yossi talking to when he says that tamura can work even on an aver? Ilim l'ramei Rabbi Yehuda, if he's talking to Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, so how could Rabbi Yossi say that the Tanakama is molded to him, that by muktashim, when you're maktish a regal, the whole thing becomes kadosh, and he's using that as the premise of his argument, that just like you already agreed to me, that if you're maktish one regal, the whole thing becomes kadosh, so tamura should work on one regal as well, and the whole thing should be tamura. Well, me do Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold that that's true about Hegdish? Vatanya yachlom raglish zol teikula ola. I might have thought that that's true. Tamalom kolash atit mimenu Hashem yeh kodesh mimenu kodesh velo kulo kodesh. That only the aver that you're makdish is kodesh. The entire thing, the entire rest of it is not kodesh. Yachol teitzel chulin. So you might think the whole behema can become chulin when you're poda that aver. So tamalom yeh bav yosatei. So that's why it tells me that no, it's got to stay in its kedush. That that has kedusha saguf and cannot be turned into chulin. Okay, so that's, what do you do with it? Timachar l'tzarchei olos, you sell the animal for someone who needs a carbon olos, so the whole animal will be brought as a carbon. V'dameh chulin chutz midmei ever shaba, and the value of the all the money you get for it is going to be chulin, except for the money that corresponds to that one aver. Divramei Rabbi Yehuda. So you see, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold that the premise that Rabbi Yossi starts his argument with is not true. Rabbi Yossi starts his argument with the premise that if you're maktish one aver, the entire animal becomes kadosh, and therefore he tries to argue the same should be true by Tamura, but Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold that premise is not true. Rabbi Yossi for Rabbi Shimon Omrim, it's only Rabbi Yossi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon who say, Minayin lomer la omer ragla shalzo ola, te kula ola, tamal omer yeh, the rabbi says kula, that the whole thing becomes a korban ola when you're makdish the regel. And therefore, when Rabbi Yossi is presenting his argument, leman, ilu ramei Rabbi Yehuda, miyuslu ha'isvara, if he's presenting it to ramei Rabbi Yehuda, he's starting with a false premise in their opinion. Elav, the Rabbi Shimon, he must be presenting his argument to Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon agrees when it comes to Kedusha, when it comes to being Makdish an Ever. And Rabbi Yossi is suggesting that the same should be true when it comes to Temura. So there's a raya from Rabbi Yossi that the Tanakama of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. And since we know that Rabbi Shimon holds that we are Makish Temura to Meiser, we make a link between Temura and Meiser Behema. So here also we say the reason that you cannot do Temura on Evarim and Ubrim is because of that Hekish, that just like Meiser Behema doesn't apply to Evarim and Ubrim, so too Temura does not apply. So the reason we can't do Temura is not because the Uber is not called a Behema. The Uber is called a Behema. It's just that the din of Temura is learned from the dinim of Meiser, and therefore once you're going to say that the Uber is called the Behema, so Behema ba Behema could taka be the source for Ben Pakua. So don't you see that's therefore a raya? Says Mer, lo, you cannot prove that Rabbi Yossi is talking to Rabbi Shimon over there. Rabbi Yossi time dinafshe kamar, because who says that when Rabbi Yossi presents his argument he's telling them just like you guys already agree that if you're makdish one limb that the whole thing becomes kadosh, therefore you should also agree about Temura. He's not saying just like you agree. He's saying, I hold if you're makdish one limb, the whole thing becomes kadosh. I know you don't agree with that, but I hold that way. And therefore I hold the same should apply to Temura. But he might be talking to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and not to Rabbi Shimon. New Mishnah now. At what stage, at what point during the birthing process do we assume kadushas b'chor is chal? Hamvakeres hamakash leili. If an animal is having its firstborn and it's going through the labor process, you can cut off one limb at a time and throw it to the dogs, because as long as the majority of the animals not emerge, Kedushas Bechor has not yet been chal. But if most of the animal has emerged, so then it's considered to have been born and it has Kedushas Bechor and it's also Ba'ana'a. So whether they came out one limb at a time this Yoledes is Niftor Mina Bechorah. So this Yoledes is not any further offspring that this Yoledes is going to have is not going to be Chayiv in Bechorah, because it's not going to have Kedushas Bechor, because it already had its Bechor. You may have ruined the Bechor, but it already had its Bechor. So Itbar Yatza Shlish Umechor Lo V'chavim. Let's say one third emerged, and then you sell the Ubar to a non-Jew. V'chazvi Yatza Shlish Acher. Then another third of it emerged. So what is the din as far as the Kedusha of the Bechor? Rav Huna Amar Kadosh. Rav Huna says it has a Kedushas Bechor, even though before the majority came out, it had already been sold to a Nachri. Rabba Amar Eino Kadosh. Rabba says, it had already been sold to a Nachri, so it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. Ravun Amar Kadosh Kasavir L'Mafreya Kadosh, because he holds that even though the Kedushas Bechor is only going to happen at the Shas Leida, we then look back L'Mafreya and say, from when the Leida began, that's when the Kedushas Bechor is Chal. L'Mafreya Kivet Enafak Le'Rubei, so now that the majority has come out, Iglai Mosel L'Mafreya the Me'ekar Hava Kadosh, we now go back L'Mafreya and say that it was Kadosh the whole time. Umay Dezavin Lo Klum Zavin, and since it was Kadosh already, the sale to a guy did nothing. Whereas Rabba Amar Enu Kadosh, Rabba says, no, if you sold it after only one third of it emerged, then it does not have Kedushas Bechor, Kasavim Mikanu Labba Kadosh, because he holds that only when the majority emerges does it become Kadosh, and we don't go L'mafreya, Umayta Zabin Shapir Zabin. So you sold it in the nick of time. You sold it well before it yet had Kedushas Bechor, and therefore you avoided Kedushas Bechor by selling it to a Nachri. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll go with Va'azdu L'tameh, we'll begin with Va'azdu L'tameh, how both of these Shitos are Lishitasam. Everyone have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for joining, and we'll see you again tomorrow, probably same time.